Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As all guests appear today on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he writes for WaitingForNextYear.com. He has a podcast, the Dairy Brothers Podcast, with his brother Matt. Todd joining us now. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Fantastic, Gino. How about yourself?
Good.
Happy Labor Day.
Yeah, not too bad. A little antsy, a little feisty, I don't know how to explain it. After taking three from Detroit, going down, I thought the Indians would have a better showing in Tampa Bay. They get swept. They score only eight runs in three games. It was just maybe that perfect storm down there in Tampa, a place and a team that, for some reason, the Indians struggle against.
I don't know how Cavendish is doing it with this group. I mean, you look at their lineup, and it's, you know, Eric Sogard, and their cleanup hitter is G-Man Choi, and, you know, Joey Wendell, you know, Willie Adames. I mean, it's like these guys. I mean, yesterday you got beat by Nate Lowe, who came up from AAA and hit the big home run. I mean, it's very, very frustrating. The Indians, this was such a big series, and the way they came out just flat. And it was, you know, the Friday night's game was, the real killer was Friday night's game, because that was, you know, they stranded a million runners. Bieber gave you everything you had, and you had Bieber going against an opener in a pen game, and that was kind of set the tone for the series, and they just couldn't score, and they just bats were asleep, except for the, you know, when they were getting smoked late on Saturday night. It was a very frustrating weekend, to say the least.
Yeah, and they return home now for four against Chicago, but that's the series, and those are the type of games that they're going to continue to be in if they want to, one, get to the postseason, maybe still make a run at the Central Division here, as they're now 5.5 games behind Minnesota, now a half a game behind Tampa Bay for that top wild card spot, still in that second spot in that mix now. But another weekend, and it's another set of injuries too for the Indians. They lose Jason Kipnis, and of course Tyler Naquin definitely done for the rest of this year with the ACL after going into the wall on on Friday night.
You know, this is the problem that you have now. All of a sudden, you know, you have to play with, you know, yesterday was a prime example. It seemed like every single time a big spot came up, it was either Kevin Plawecki or Yu Chang coming up to the plate. And this is right. The hand you are dealt with right now. I mean, Mike Freeman's done a nice job. I mean, he had three hits yesterday, made that diving catch at second base, filling in for Kip. But, you know, the more you see Mike Freeman, the more he's going to get exposed. So hopefully, you know, the Kip thing is just the wrist is just a day-to-day thing. But it didn't look great when he was swinging and he grimaced. He made a worse face than Jose Ramirez did the week before when he got hurt. But, you know, the loss of Naquin, I think, is bigger than people think it is, just because he was playing really – first of all, it was the first time he's been healthy in a really yes. long time. He's having his best season as a pro. Defensively, he's been really, really good. Great arm in left. He hadn't played left field since high school, he said, and he's really handled it well. And hitting in the ninth spot, he was doing a nice job. So, you know, it's going to be up to guys to step up with Greg Allen. Hopefully Jordan Luplo will be back from AAA soon. I know he's working out his hamstring injury in Columbus. And, you know, you never know. Bradley Zimmer might all of a sudden end up, you know, being a factor late in the season. I don't think he will, because I don't think you can throw him out there after basically being out for a year and a half. But they did activate him off the 60-day DL, and he is playing down there in Columbus. So you may see him when the Clippers season ends.
Todd Derry joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Todd, WaitingForNextYear.com, also has a Derry Brothers podcast that a new one will be recorded here shortly and dropped later today. But let's talk about yesterday. I mean, the biggest thing to come out of this whole Tampa Bay series was the return of Carlos Carrasco, a guy that hasn't pitched since May 30th, a guy that's been battling leukemia. I mean, just to be back so soon, just a fantastic scene yesterday in Tampa for Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah, all 20 fans in the stands got a real treat yesterday with the Carrasco. You know, it's I know the weather's bad in Florida, obviously, but I think if the weather was good, nobody would have been there. But that's another topic. But it was such a great moment. I mean, what a story for him to come back from leukemia. You didn't think that when he was diagnosed, I certainly didn't think that they would see him pitching again. And the fact that he's back September 1st, you know, his family's all down there in Tampa, which is great. And, you know, there were a lot of Indians fans in attendance. The fact that Kevin Cash, being the manager of Tampa, who knows Carrasco so well and helped him, you know, basically reinvent himself as a guy who's only pitching out of the stretch. You know, when he was making his attempted, you know, move from the rotation into the bullpen and back in the rotation, you know, it was really a great moment. My personal favorite thing, and for those who saw it on TV, I hope a lot of people did. They showed a clip after the final, after the inning, he came back in and he got a real big hug from Jason Kipnis. And they basically, you could see Kipnis's eyes and he had literally had tears in his eyes. They had embraced for a long hug. And, you know, it's obviously, you know, it's cliche to say it's bigger than baseball, but it is. It was just an incredible moment. And, you know, I was just thrilled to see him back out there. And I think all Indians fans, you know, not only is it a great thing and a great story, but I think he's going to be a very important piece of this bullpen the last month of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait to see him here at Progressive Field, hopefully in one of these four games coming up against Chicago before the Indians, of course, have to go on the road again. This schedule since the All-Star break has just been brutal. I mean, they're home for three games and then they go away for 2 weeks. So they're home for four and then they're gone again. There's really no sense of home field for the Indians as they've been gone a lot. But hopefully Carlos Carrasco will get in here in one of these four games before the Indians hit the road to Minnesota. And that's going to be a big series coming up this weekend with the Twins. You have six left with the Minnesota Twins. You're 7-6 versus Minnesota this season. We know that the Indians have a tough schedule than Minnesota here in this month of September. So for the Indians, they're going to have to win five out of six, four out of six.
Anything less than five of six gives you you can do anything worse than that and have any sort of chance to win the division. I mean, here, just being honest here, I mean, I do think they will end up in one of the wild card spots. I don't think that Minnesota is catchable just based on their schedule. Even if the Indians, three against the Tigers, three against the Royals. And the Indians have to finish, you know, or against two teams that are playing to go to the playoffs, Philadelphia and Washington. And three of those games will be in Washington. Well, they'll be a down a bat because it's stupid. The only place in baseball where in every level where pitchers bat is in the National League parks. So I just think it's just going to be a really, really tough ask with the way the schedule sets up for both teams. So I am looking at more of the wild card for the Indians than I am for the division. You know, you were speaking to the schedule before with the Indians. This will be their third consecutive homestand. That will be three. It was home for three on the road, home for three on the road, and now home for four and back on the road. I just, you know, I know it's impossible task to make the Major League Baseball schedule every year, but that full week in New York was ridiculous. And these three game, four game homestands, and then they just go away also makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I would like to take a crack at making this schedule coming up in a couple of years. Let me sit down with my computer and figure out the best way, not just for the Indians, but for all of Major League Baseball. They should go back to that lady and the guy and his wife in like Pittsburgh or wherever that made the schedules every year instead of this that we've been going through.
Yeah. Listen, anything to keep the Indians from having the home opener in the, you know, what is it, March 26th yes. or something. It's the stupidest thing ever.
I'm surprised you're against the Indians hitting. I mean, wouldn't you rather see Savali bunting than Reyes as DH for that final series against Washington?
Don't get me started. Yeah, I know what you're. I know you. I know how much you love my bunting.
Yes,
my hate for the bunt.
hopefully, that will be a big topic for the podcast coming up. What do you and Matt have in store for the Dairy Brothers podcast today?
So today, after I get done with you, Matt and I will be recording. You can find it under the Waiting for Next Year label wherever you find your podcast, the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. This will be, I think, our third episode 31. you know, we'll talk about the struggles they've had with Tampa and Oakland. I mean, that's you know, if the Indians don't make the playoffs this year and miss by one game, you can point to many things. I mean, you can point to losing those back-to-back 13-0 games in Baltimore. That's something I will remember. But, you know, that's the Mets game where Hand didn't cover first. But to me, it will be 1-5 against Oakland, 1-5 against Tampa, the two teams that you're fighting for, fighting with to get that those wild card spots have just owned the Indians. You know, we'll discuss the slump of Yasiel Puig. He was a house of fire when he came in. And, you know, right now they're needing him the most, and he is ice cold. And then obviously we'll discuss some of the stuff we talked about today, the injuries to Kipnis and Naquin, and, you know, having to count on Yu Chang and Mike Freeman for some big spots here.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because Puig was something I talked about in the first hour. And ever since that suspension, which happened with another team that the Indians got penalized for, he hasn't been the same hitter since taking 3 days off and then trying to come back after that. And that's, I don't know, aggravating for me, because, again, Cincinnati should have had to have played without a player, or the Indians at least should have been able to bring somebody else up, or, I don't know, Puig should have been able to serve it next year or something.
Well, it all comes down to the fact that the Reds, who knew they were trading him, didn't pull him off the field. I mean, this should not be on the Indians. It should be on the Reds. Like, I don't know if they could have lost a player or whatever, but it was ridiculous that the Indians had to lose him for those three games against the Red Sox, and they could have used him. They lost 2 of 3 in that series, and like you said, he really has not been the same since. He's right now he's in the 3-for-23 skid, and you know that weekend, the week in New York, you know, his last 11 or 12 at bats, he didn't get a hit. I mean, so it hasn't been great. You know, you get the good with the bad with him. You know, you get the sometimes he steals third when he shouldn't and get thrown out, and then sometimes you see that rocket arm in right field. And you know what's interesting is now that he's in the middle of the slump, and you hear a lot about, you know, a couple weeks ago you heard a lot of people going, oh well, you know, there was a topic actually I heard on this station, which was, would you rather not pick up the option for Corey Kluber next year at $17 million if it affords you the chance to re-sign Puig to maybe a big 1 or 2 year deal? And you know, that to me is insane, but you know, that was a legit topic of conversation because everyone's got Puig mania, and I got caught up in it too. I love the guy. I'd love to see him here next year. He'd be great in right field all year. So I don't know though, you know, with him, you know, he's such a wild card that he might be available on a big 1 year contract. And you know, as I always said, there's no such thing as a bad 1 year contract except for Brett Myers.
Man, Brett Myers, that was
worst of the worst.
Yes.
Worst of the worst.
Yeah, it was funny. We were talking in the first hour a little bit about the Manny Acta era for a hot second.
Actaball?
Oh, come yeah.
Actaball was great.
Yeah, that, yes. Okay, that's it. No, we're done. Brett Myers is how we're going to end it here today. Check Todd out, the Dairy Brothers Tribe Cast coming up a little bit later today with Todd and his brother Matt, so be sure to check that out as well. And as always, Todd, thank you very much for the time. Have a good taping, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon once the Indians make this postseason here this year.
Anytime for you, my man.
There he is, Todd Derry, joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.